Please say another salawat all together. If you are tired, please say another salawat. Alhamdulillah, no one is tired. Please say a fresh salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى صحبه المنتجبين واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله اقرأوا القرآن بألحان العرب وأصواتها وإياكم ولحون أهل الفسوق. Before I start to speak about my subject that I have chosen to speak and the past few days I continue speaking, I would like to speak in the beginning about قراءة القرآن. So there are two terms that are being used. One is قراءة and second is tajweed, or third term that can be said as a tartil. When we look at qira'at, of course it's in the meaning of reading or reciting, and tajweed, when we say tajweed, it's from jawwada, making something as excellent, doing any action as good as we can. And tartil also, it is said, recitation with all the rules and regulations that have been said, or reciting something in connection with ittisal. When we look at tajweed itself, tajweed can be divided in two parts. Once tajweed is with the sounds and the letters, and second part of tajweed is related to the makharij, the places where we pronounce. So that means we can say once tajweed, that means pronouncing something that is outside. If there are any sounds, how we need to pronounce them. If there are letters, how we need to pronounce them. And the second tajweed, it's related to the places makharij, makhraj, the place where we pronounce. You know, sometimes we have to pronounce something that it has to come from just the tongue, tip of the tongue, for example. Sometimes something or some of the letters has to be pronounced from the throat. Some other letters, they may be pronounced through the middle of the teeth. So there can be various places where we need to pronounce the letters. Those places of pronunciation is considered as tajweed. So what we need to learn in tajweed? When we like to learn in tajweed, we need to learn two things. One, letters. How to pronounce the letters. What are the proper ways of pronunciation of the letters? And there are many harakat in Arabic, that vowels in Arabic, learning those vowels in Arabic. And second, the places where we need to pronounce, and those makharij is also important. Prophet, peace be upon him, has said in a hadith, he says salawat, اقرأوا القرآن بألحان العرب وأصواتها. When you like to read Quran, read as an Arab person recites, and in their voices as they recite. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَلُحُونِ أَهْلِ الْفُسُوقِ. And do not recite Quran as the fussaq recite, or for example, those recite with the music. How much tajweed is required? How much qira'at is required in our daily life? According to the fiqh, there is another ruling. And in general, when we like to pronounce, we can make it as perfect as we can. But according to fiqh, there is a special limitation. In a general sense, we can say that, you know, we come in America and we start speaking English and we try to speak as perfect as we can. So no one can realize that I am American or am I from any other country. So we try to speak as much as perfect we can. Where we have to stop, where we have to speak, what are the places, how we need to pronounce, pronunciation itself and makharij, everything it comes with our language. Every language has those important things. So this pronunciation is not part of Arabic, it is part of every language. Each language it has. So when we like to pronounce Arabic at that time also, we need to try to as better as we can. But according to fiqh, it is said that if somebody pronounces the Arabic, that an Arab person, when he listens to that, he considers the meaning and understands the meaning. So other person can understand the meaning. That is sufficient. If that much Arabic is pronounced, then it's sufficient. You don't need to be really a Qari, because everybody cannot be. You cannot read with the proper rules of tajweed in a complete sense. But if it is pronounced, and especially what we need to learn, brothers and sisters, that is very important, when we like to perform our prayer, we need to at least fix our prayer and try to apply the rules as much as we can. That at least when I recite Surah Alhamd, if somebody listens to me, they can say that yes, he or she is reciting in Arabic, not saying in Punjabi. He's not reading in Urdu. It's not a Farsi. Sometimes there is a Arabic that is Mufarras, Farsi Arabic. There is a Punjabi Arabic. There is a Urdu Arabic. So there can be various types of the Arabic. Some people, they recite Arabic in Punjabi, in Urdu. So it's not Arabic anymore. You know, sometimes you say that, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's not Khamudu. It is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You know, sometimes we need to know that what is the proper place of pronunciation, where I have to pronounce Ha and where I have to pronounce Kha. If somebody can learn that, and that is easy, it's not difficult. There are various resources, as I've said in the past. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, علم القرآن وتعلم له وكثر تلاوته. And try to learn the Quran, and teach to other people, and try to recite as much as we can. So let us go back to our previous subject that we had, that is matrimonial issues and issues that related our marriage, and especially some of the issues that I want to discuss about the youth. Hadith I had recited yesterday, that it says, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَانْكَحُوهُ. When somebody comes to you and you like their religion and their khulq, then marry your children. What does it mean when we say that if you like the religion? If you like their religion, that means if yourself, there is likeness in yourself, is that what it means? Or likeness, it means that in general, he is in the same religion that you have. According to Marhum Allama Majlisi Rahmatullah Alayhi, it is said, it means that if he comes as Imamiya from your religion, he must be Shia. He must be follower of Ahlul Bayt. So that raises many other questions. It raises many other questions. First of all, marrying our daughters and the children, is it allowed with the Christians? So we discussed yesterday, of course, Quran has said about mushrikeen. How about Christians? According to fiqh of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, it is said marrying with the Christian marriage that is permanent marriage, it is not allowed. Yes, there can be differences of opinion. Maybe somebody and one of the Maharaj, he accepts that marriage, and they consider that marrying Christian, it is possible. But most of the Maharaj of the time, they do not allow that unless if there is any marja that is not famous, and I do not know the name, they may consider that it is allowed. Permanent marriage, it's not been considered as allowed. Yes, there is another marriage that is temporary marriage. Sometimes, you know, because it's not a norm, we don't like to speak about that. And many people, they think that this has become just a marriage that is not allowed. Within Islam, one of the marriages that is allowed, that is temporary marriage. It is being said in Islam, and this is Sunnah of Prophet and Sunnah of Aimma alayhi salam. So we'll speak about that later, but at the moment, what I want to say, that when somebody comes to you with a religion that you like, that means it's likely for you that you have that same religion and you follow the same path. Then the questions that are going to be that should we marry with any other school of thought? We have many sects in Islam. Can we marry with them or we cannot? So there are two conditions. In beginning, in origin, it has been said that a Shia can marry with Ahlus Sunnah and Ahlus Sunnah can marry with Shia. That is a general ruling. But there are precautions for that. Precaution for that, it has been said that if you think that because of this marriage, because marriage, that means you are making somebody as your friend, making a life partner, making somebody who can be with you, and having this friendship, brother and sister, is really important. Dear youth, making somebody friend, it's really important. Think before you like to make anybody friend. Because friend is going to be in your life and is going to affect you, definitely. Look at the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I know it's close to iftar time, but this should not be salawat. Please say salawat all together. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil. Prophet has said, al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi. Everybody has the religion of their friends. When you like to choose a friend, then you have to be careful. Don't choose everybody as your friend. Make people those who can be really your friend, because they are going to affect in your religion. Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi. Everybody is with the religion of their friends. So let's say if I have my wife is going to affect on me, and I am going to affect on my wife. If I have a colleague, a roommate, somebody lives with me, he or she is going to affect upon me, and I'm going to affect on that person as well. If I go to school, make somebody as my schoolmate, I have to be careful, because that person may affect on my religion. Slowly, I'm going to compromise in some of the things. So one day he's going to say that, let us go to have a meal in a restaurant. So you both went in a restaurant. So he goes in a restaurant, they don't care about that, any restaurant it can be. Then they are going to offer you the food. Either you have to accept or reject. There can be two situations. Then slowly they are, maybe if he is smoking, then he's going to ask you that, would you like to smoke a little bit? Let's take one day, just one smoke. So with one smoke, he's going to adopt you. And the second day, then you're going to smoke. It's going to be easy for you. The third day, he's going to say to you, let us go, friends, have a little bit, you know, chill around, you know. So this chilling itself is going to cause problem. Then you're going to chill around, you know, you have to go and be with them. All these characters affect on our life. Even terms that he's going to use, the language that he's going to speak, because you have to speak every day, then he's going to use the words that you don't like to use. One day you're going to say, brother, don't say that. He's going to say, come on, it's okay. What's wrong with you? That's my norm of my language. So with that, you're going to adopt that. So how many things we adopted? We adopted in language, we adopted in character, in eating, drinking, making other friends. His friends are going to be your friends. That is what Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam has said. Imam said, Asdiqa'uka salata. Your friends are free. Think about that. Your friends are free. One is your friend. Your friend's friend is going to be your friend. Is that correct? Because he is going to introduce you. This is my friend. So you have to accept him as a friend. When you accepted him as a friend or her as a friend, then he or she is going to affect on your life as well. So they became your friend as well. So, sadiquka, sadiqo sadiqika, third, can anybody add? Anybody knows about that? Third. Adubu adubvika. Your enemy, another friend of your life is enemy of your enemy. As I give example of Hugo Chavez. He's our friend. Because he's enemy of the enemies. Bashar Assad. Although maybe he's not closely your friend, but he's our friend because he's enemy of the enemies. So adubu adubvika, that is also your friend. So a friend, Prophet said, Al-mar'u ala deen khalili, falyanzur ahadakum man yukhalil. Look at somebody when you like to make him friend. Don't make friend everybody. Everybody cannot be your friend. Your friends has to be special. Look at Amirul Mu'mineen. Look at the personality of Amirul Mu'mineen. He was choosing friends. He had chosen best friends. Sometimes he has chosen Ammar, one of the best character in the history. Abu Adar, right? He has chosen the personality who went Andar, who was being taken, that he was executed. But at the same time, the mitham, the personality, he said, my whole body and every piece of my life, every part of my body is going to say, Ya Ali. Please say salawat. So the Christian, if you like to marry them, then of course you are marrying not the girl. You are not marrying a boy. You are marrying a culture. You are marrying a religion. You are marrying with the thoughts and belief. So you are not marrying only with the individual. You have to be careful that you are going to be married with their character and akhlaq as well. And that is going to affect your life. Be careful before you choose. For Shias and Sunnis, in origin it is said that it is allowed to get married, but then Fuqaha have set a precaution. If there is any danger that because of getting married with those people, your belief is going to be affected or it's going to be changed, then you cannot get married. So let's say if a Shia girl gets married with a Sunni brother. So because it is said that wives, their thoughts and belief are according to the thought and belief of the husband. Or it's been said is that a hadith, or it is maybe phrase of Arabic, annasu ala deen mulukihim. So there is possibility that it is just as a phrase, Arabic phrase, maybe there is a hadith as well. Annasu ala deen mulukihim. People are according to the religion of their masters. So I can give you examples. You know, the Obama makes a shape of his head, and many other people, they just change their shape, style. Even they start changing their style. Many people, those who deliver their speeches, they start delivering speeches same as he delivers. Offices change. School of thought is going to be changed. Whole culture changes with just one president. Annasu ala deen mulukihim. So same when you like to choose a person as your husband, who's going to be your master, who's going to rule you, although it is allowed that you can get married with a Sunni, but he is going to change your culture, and also he's going to change your belief and thoughts. Sometimes he's going to affect you. Maybe in the beginning, many people, they say, we just made a pact. In the beginning, we made a compromise that we are not going to do anything. I am going to go for majalis. I will do whatever I like, but that's not going to happen. It is not possible. Because al-mar'u ala deen, repeat that, al-mar'u ala deen khalile. Hadith of Prophet is true, that everybody is on the religion of their friends. How about a friend that is going to be in all the life friend, lifetime friend? Same another side. That if you choose a girl, you like that, she is from any other school of thought. When you choose that girl, she is also going to be part of your life. Yes, it is true that husband is going to affect, and maybe there is possibility that she will adopt the same school and she will accept. With that type of assumption, you are bringing that lady in your life. But how there is possibility that this assumption is going to be true? No, not necessary. There is possibility the second day she's going to say, I'm going to stay as a Sunni. You can do whatever you like. I'm not going to change myself. Then you have your children. She's going to affect the children as well. She will live in your family. She's going to affect over there. Slowly she is going to affect on your mind and your thoughts as well. Can you please say all salawat together? Amongst the schools of thought in Islam, there is a special a group that are being said Nasibi. So when it's been said that we are allowed to get married in general with any other school, that is just for the people, those who are ordinary Muslim, or Muslim, they practice and their belief are ordinary belief as any other Muslim. So they are Sunni, for example, but they are not extreme level. Extreme level, that means those who have hated with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. A person who is nasibi, eating with them, drinking with them, it becomes issue. They are considered as the same as kuffar. So who are nasibi? How we can determine somebody, that person is nasibi or is not nasibi? It is very interesting that in the life of Shaykh Mufid, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, he was actually student of one of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah. He was very young, and he went to learn from them about Arabic. In Arabic, there are vowels, for example, Nasb, Fatah, Dhamma, Kasra, right? These are different vowels. So he was teaching what does it mean, Nasb. And he said to Shaykh Mufid, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, what do you think? What is Nasb? Shaykh Mufid said the person who has hated with Ahlul Bayt is considered as Nasibi. When he replied like that, he was really young child at that time, and this was title given by that Sunni scholar. He said, "Anta Shaykhun Mufid." You are really a beneficial person, that in this young age, if you can understand this concept, that means in the future you are going to be great personality. So in young age sometimes you have to be smart. Your followers of Ahlul Bayt, you have to be smart. That you start learning from very beginning of the age that who are the considered Sunni, who are the Shias, who are the extremes, even the Shias. Within the Shias there can be people, those who are extreme. There can be people, those who are extreme level. For example, if somebody says that I believe that Ali is the God, so by saying that, this person is going to be different from us, separated from us. There is no relation with this person. We cannot get married with these type of people. Even eating, drinking with these type of people also becomes an issue. Same is the Nasibi. Nasibi is the person who has hated with Amirul Mu'mineen and with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So we can understand that by conversation sometimes, within conversation, he tries to degrade Amirul Mu'mineen alayhimus salam. Whenever you say any fadilat of Amirul Mu'mineen, he opposes that at the same time. He tries to bring some reasons for that. Through that you can understand, oh my God, there is some sort of hatred inside. He does not like Amirul Mu'mineen. Whenever you say any fadilatul Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, you would like to degrade that. So that is best of the way that you can judge about his belief. We have to be careful about these type of people. Yes, in general, our Ahlul Sunnah brothers are our brothers and sisters, and they also say that they love with Amirul Mu'mineen, they love with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Even if you say fadail of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they would say that, yes, that is fine. We believe in all these excellence of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. But we have another school of thought. We follow from Khulafa. So that is different thing. But if somebody negates that and somebody makes argument and does not like to listen any of the fadail of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we have to be careful about these people. They have some sort of sickness in their hearts. And that is sickness of the hypocrisy. And this hypocrisy brings them on that level that they can be equal to the kuffar as well. Please say salawat. So brothers and sisters, when we like to get married at that time, these are the rulings. For example, getting married with the Christian Jews, what are the ruling for that? I said in the beginning. So let us look at hadith. I said yesterday as well that when we read those hadith, it does not mean that we take laws from these hadith. We read those hadith just as a support that we can understand the concept. These are not hadith that I'm going to say hadith and you're going to listen from there and take a law. In order to learn the law, you have to go for marja. You have to go and return towards Tawzi' al-Masahid of Maraji. Make a taqleed and learn from them. There is possibility that any of the marja says it is allowed, and any other marja he may say that it's not allowed. So that is completely different. قال الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام من زوج ابنته مخالفا على دينه فقد قطع رحمها. If anybody marries his daughter with mukhalif, so in this mukhalif, in this group, there can be certain types of the group. Mukhalif can be mukhalif in religion, mukhalif can be mukhalif in the faith, sometimes mukhalif, it may be mukhalif in the character as well. But in this hadith, it is said just as ulama, when they tried to interpret that hadith, that means those who are mukhalif in our religion or mukhalif in our faith. When you marry your daughters with that type of person at that time, فَقَدْ قَطَعَ رَحِمًا, you already cut your hands. It's cutting your hands. Cutting your relations. Because your relation, it is going to remain if the person is faithful. If the person is religious, If he has same type of religion, so don't sometimes, you know, make those type of assumption, I'm going to make him religion, I'm going to make them Muslim. Later on, she's going to be Muslim. She says that I'm going to be with you, and after a few days, few hours, few years, for example, I'm going to accept Islam. That is totally wrong. No, that is confusing yourself. You are making yourself in a trouble. Don't put yourself in a trouble. Yes, if somebody accepts willingly, accepts religion, then leave them alone. That they have to accept religion, even they like to get married with you or not. There can be two situations. You can make them free. You can say that if you like to accept religion, accept that. Besides the fact that if even if you're going to get married with me or not, this should not be a reason that because I'm getting married, that is why I would like to accept. Then she's accepting you, as I've said yesterday. So brothers and sisters, this is important that it is cutting our relations. Quran has said about making somebody as a friend and a partner of our life. يَوْمَ يَعَبُّ الظَّالِمُ. Yesterday we were reciting Munajat, a day before, Munajat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, as he said, I know that you are tired. Please say another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In this munajat, Amir al-Mu'mineen has mentioned one of the verses of Quran, which says, يَوْمَ يَعَبُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. There will be a day that somebody is going to bite. A walim, a wrongdoer, is going to bite his hands. Remember that day. That day is difficult. يَعَوْضُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَدْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Hey, gosh, I would have considered following the path of Prophet, peace be upon him. When we say that Prophet is olden time, our Ahlul Bayt Muslim were the people, those who lived 1400 years ago. Today, world is changed. We live in America. Oh, that is totally wrong. When we live in America, we live with Prophet, peace be upon him. Wherever we live and follow the path of Prophet, peace be upon him. Ya laytani ittakhadhtu ma'a ar-rasooli sabila. On that day, we will make this as a wish. I wish that I could be with the Prophet, peace be upon him. Because on that day, success is for the people, those who are going to be with the Prophet, peace be upon him. وَوَيْلَتَنَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِدْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Akash, I would have not made somebody as my friend. Akash, he or she was not my friend. He or she was not my companion. They have changed my religion. They have affected my day of judgment. Today, on the day of judgment, I can realize. Realizing on that day is not going to be beneficial. Finally, another thing that I would like to discuss, when we like to choose somebody, brothers and sisters, I have said few of the criteria, but one of the criteria that is the people they made that criteria. And that is very common today. That is criteria of istikhara. Nowadays, people, when they like to decide about divorce, a female calls Maulana. Maulana, I would like to have istikhara. So Maulana is going to open the Quran and make an istikhara. And it says that, yes, it's good. She's going to say, I've taken istikhara because I want to get divorced from the husband. Oh my God. It's like that I would like to drink wine. Maulana, can you make istikhara? And Maulana made istikhara. It's really good. And then you go and take a glass of the wine and start drinking because Maulana said it's okay. No, brothers and sisters, that is not istikhara. It's totally wrong. We are using this istikhara completely wrong places. So where we can use istikhara? And what is the value of istikhara? today and tomorrow, inshallah, I'll speak about that, because that is becoming just as a disease. And now people start making their own terminologies. First of all, they are going to ask, Maulana, what was the verse today for istikhara? What is the meaning of that? Can you say interpretation of that, tafsir? My God, is that possible? If somebody can make istikhara during the day, for example, and say tafsir to the people? This is not possible. Then what are they going to ask? That is this good istikhara or really good istikhara? We are changing terminologies every day, you know. This is becoming everything new. Somebody says, sometimes Maulana said, it's really good. It does not mean that there are three, four categories. For example, there is good, then better, and best. No, istikhara is either good or bad. Right? Sometimes maybe there is possibility somebody has used, oh, it's really good, but it does not mean that there is another category as well. But where we can use istikhara? Can we use istikhara in ahkam fiqhi? For example, it has been said that performing nafila is mustahab after maghrib. Can I make istikhara that should I recite nafila or not? No, I cannot. Because this is hukm fiqhi. In ahkam fiqhi, I cannot make istikhara. If something is wajib, it's wajib. I cannot make istikhara for that. If something is haram, that is haram. I cannot change it with istikhara. Somebody wanted to open a liquor store in England. A liquor store, right? And in England, that has become today very modern istikhara, that many ulama, they sit on the television, they have a Quran. It's like in the olden times, some people, they're just sitting outside and making some sort of khair, fal. So making fal, they had a bird. You know, they had a bird beside them, and a bird was choosing a little slip from there and picked it up, and whatever it comes out, the people, they are going to follow. So that means the bird is better than us. He can think better than us. You know, this was a tradition in Iran, Pakistan, and certain countries. So they started doing that as well. So many of ulama, they sit on the television, and for a whole hour, they are just doing that. Somebody is called, Maulana, make istikhara for me. And he opens istikhara, and then he says, good or bad. And people, they start making argument. When he called Maulana, he said, Maulana, I want to open a liquor store. And Maulana didn't know what is liquor store. He never been in a liquor store, of course. And he did not know the term. Maulana opened the Quran, and it comes that it's really good. So when it was really good, he turned off the telephone, and he went back, and somebody was sitting with Maulana, who was just interpreting, or maybe a presenter. He said, Maulana, he asked you, can I open a liquor store? He said, what is liquor store? It's a liquor store that means some people, they sell wine and alcohol. He said, oh my God, that is wrong. So then he could not say anything. So that person is going to open a liquor store because of Maulana's istikhara. And all the wrongs that are going to take place, that is because of this istikhara. So is that istikhara we are going to use that? That anybody making a haram, they would like to ask that if we can... So when they ask from any alim, they don't say reason in the beginning. So that happened with myself many times. Many sisters, they call and they say, I would like to take istikhara. So I'm going to open istikhara. So I said, it's good. She said, Maulana, I made istikhara that I would like to take divorce from my husband. No, that is wrong. Yes, for some of the reason, it is said that it's good to take istikhara. And istikhara, it gives only recommendation. Tomorrow I will speak that what are the concepts of istikhara, what are the basis of istikhara, and where we can use. But there are misuses more than the use of istikhara. One of the places that is totally misused, that for example, you went to somebody and you made an offer for the marriage. You ask them, I would like to get married with you, and they started thinking about that. You have chosen, you went over there, you made all the parties, and many times made engagement, and after going long way, it comes time that when you made prepare your days that you're going to get married, other people, they are preparing, they are buying the jewelry, and that day you open the Quran and read istikhara. You see, this is misuse of istikhara. That means it's totally against our commitments. We made some sort of commitments, and other people, they are thinking, they prepared everything, and now you're making istikhara. That is not the place of istikhara. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us opportunity that we can follow the true path of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding of true Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us opportunity that our children can follow path of Islam. May Allah accept our worship and fasting during this month. May Allah give us opportunity that we can recite Quran during this month. With that, I will request, brothers and sisters, that every day we are reciting Quran on your behalf. You know, either for your sawab or on your behalf. But please come on time and sit for recitation of Quran. It's just a matter of few minutes before, half an hour before. Yes, I know many brothers and sisters, they are working. They come from job. It's difficult for them. They cannot join. So they have a reason. But rest of people, those who can, please try to join in recitation of Quran. Our sisters also have made effort. They start recitation of Quran at 6 o'clock. Those brothers, those sisters can be in that class. Please join there and learn Quran during the month of Quran. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. For the souls of mu'minin mu'minat, please recite al-Fatiha مع الصلوات.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم